Can you hear me, Bill?
Can you hear me now?
Man, I love how, like, now that I'm really getting into anime and all this kind of stuff, how now go. I'm like, oh, this guy sounds like, he's like the audio broadcaster, the sports announcer at a Japanese baseball game.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me now?
I swear I'm like, I don't think I'm trying to get sick, but like, or allergy?
I don't think, is anyone ever trying to get
sick?
No,
but I mean like, that's a Southern way of saying it, but like, is it, or allergies? Or I guess,
well, I mean, the weather's been weird, dude. It's like super cold. It was really cold. Mm-hmm. And then the past couple of days, it's gotten up to like 78, 79.
It's been off, so pretty nice.
No. Dude. What?
No.
Nice. I don't want it to be 79.
No.
Give me like hottest 70, and even then I'm like, come on, now I got to take my sweater off. What I'm trying to say is the plant life doesn't know what to do with it all, and so it's just the short answer is yes, you could be experiencing some allergies.
Let's talk about cobweb.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I'm talking about, what part I'm talking about.
Yeah. First, I mean,
well, are we going to get into,
let's get into that differently.
Yeah. Well, let's just do the intro so we can talk about. Howdy, folks. Welcome back to your favorite podcast, That Would Be Rad, the podcast that majors in 80s and 90s nostalgia, comic culture, all things paranormal, and minors in retro video games, tabletop RPGs, pre-internet mysteries, and raising our kids to be half as cool as we were back in the 80s. I'm your host, Tyler Bentz, and this is your other host,
Woody Brown.
Hey, pal.
Hey, man.
So anyway, let's get back to the allergy talk.
Anyway, man, it's good to be back.
Oh, it's so good to be back.
I'm sure we probably sound a little bit on the rusty side, but you just, because, you know, sometimes you just got to get back into it. You got to get back in the swing of things.
Yeah, that's right.
But I feel like, you know, because of, you know, the circumstances, we didn't really even get to, I don't know, man, wrap up the Halloween season and talk about kind of, I don't know, what we did, how our Halloween went, the movies that we watched and stuff. So I thought, you know, besides some of the other things that I have kind of written down to catch up with you, I thought we'd play a little catch up with our listeners too and let them know how our Halloween's went and all that.
That sounded pretty stiff. You want to take that again?
Well, I mean, I thought that maybe, where was that? Like, where was the stiff?
I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I do feel, I don't know, it was a little bit of a bummer of a month because, as you guys know, October and Halloween season is like our favorite and mostly, I guess, you know, to you guys, our pals, our listeners, you know, you feel the same. And there was just so much stuff going on. And so, yeah, so we don't want you to feel gypped. And so we are going to kind of do, I don't know, what would you say, like a spooktacular recap a little bit?
Well, yes. I mean, I would just say, like, I'm mostly interested just to hear about, because we kind of on purpose didn't really talk about what we did on Halloween and how that went.
Yeah.
You know, what we dressed up as.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I just, again, part of the reason why I wanted to do last week's episode, kind of the way that we did it was, it just didn't feel right just diving into, hey, let's talk about scary movies. And by the way, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of want to talk about some of the movies that, you know, we did watch and what we think about them and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, what did you and your girls, what did you guys dress up as?
So I did not dress up, which is, it kind of, it's weird. Like, this is one of these things that even I don't understand, like, why I do this. But, like, for someone like me who is, like, obsessed with Halloween, it's like, you know, October 1 rolls around. Mm-hmm. In my studio, I already have Halloween lights. I already have the happy Halloween thing. I already have, like, the, you know, 60s. Yeah, the spiderwebs, the 60s, like little, you know, pumpkin candles, like everything's ready to roll. But like, typically, like, I haven't dressed up in like a long time just because it's all about getting the kids kind of ready.
I mean, the way you said that kind of makes it sound like I'm selfish, but I'll explain later. Go ahead.
No.
I'm not going to let you get by with like a cloaked,
no,
passive aggressive.
No, that's not.
Swipe at me.
It's okay, not like that's not at all like a humble brag. It's just one of those things that like, it is weird. And like, I've wondered myself like why I don't sort of go that last step and like dress up, but I haven't in a while actually. Mm. But you guys, man, you guys always knock
it
out.
Dude, always got to dress up, man. I love it. And typically, well, not typically, but a lot of the time, you know, we show up to wherever we're going and we're the only adults dressed up.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Right.
I don't care, man. So we don't necessarily try to make it like sort of a family theme or whatever. But this year the kids were like, man, here's an idea. What if we did like everyone gets to pick a universal monster? And I'm like,
oh, I love it.
Yeah. And so at first I was actually going to be Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, boy, I do not want to be wearing green paint.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. All night and all that.
Real quick, not to cut you off, but are you against wearing like the masks?
Yeah, man. I'm glad you asked that question. I've always been, I don't like costumes. And it's kind of ironic because my son's costume this year had a mask. But yeah. I don't like costumes that have a mask involved.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I want to get that face paint on. I want to, you know, kind of be creative with it and stuff. And I'm not saying, and then like another thing about the mask thing is I never know who is it, you know? And
mm-hmm.
I always just got weirded out because people in my neighborhood when I was a kid or something, they would just like run up to you and they're wearing a mask. And you're like, I don't. Hey, man. And then they take it off and it's like, it's actually your friend's dad. And he's just being like overly scary. And you're like, dude.
Yeah, right.
Calm down, man. Can I get a Snickers or what's up?
Yeah, it is kind of like, I don't know. I do feel like face paint is like so old school.
Yeah.
Like that there is, I mean, it is kind of a pain in the ass, but it is, I don't know. It is cooler, I think. I mean, there are some like amazing masks. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And some people, that's they want to have a mask and they're like, man, I really want to look like this. And you know, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
For me and my kids, I just have that rule, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want you having a mask. I want to be able to see your face, man.
Although boy,
you know, otherwise you could just be anybody.
Woodrow, your son, like his.
Yeah. So he was
awesome.
Invisible man.
Yeah.
And that was a hard sell for me because of the mask thing. I was like, son, like maybe we could come up with a band. Well, he found this like costume kit or whatever on Amazon. And I mean, dude, it was so cheap
mm-hmm.
that I thought, okay, let's order it. Let's put it on and then
send it back.
You can sell it to me. Yeah. If it sucks, we'll just return it. Dude, he put that costume on. It comes with like the trench coat, the fedora, the little like wayfarers and this mask that makes it look like his face is wrapped in bandages, just like the Invisible Man. And the shirt that looks like it's, you can see through it and there's suspenders there, you know? And so he walked into my office with that on and I said, man, that's, you got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool because he's actually, out of both of my kids, he gets super shy about Halloween for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Oh, so maybe the mask like sort of.
Yeah. Gave him the bravery a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But anyhow, so we went as Universal Monsters. I was Dracula.
Naturally.
Well,
actually, you know what? Not naturally because you're.
As ugly as Frankenstein.
No, but I mean, since you've, I mean, this is a little, this may be too
transparent. We're not doing it.
This may be too transparent, but I mean, since all the laser hair removal stuff.
God, and the calf implants.
Well, I mean, I wasn't even going to bring those up, but you know, since the hair removal stuff.
I'm cutting it all out.
You don't look like a werewolf.
No, but, well, that's, okay. I thought maybe a werewolf would be kind of cool, but Jane, who is.
Dude.
A straight up tomboy, dude. She found this, I mean, dude.
Hilarious.
Hilarious, also cute and adorable. Mm-hmm. So, because like my rule there was, I don't want you being, maybe I'm just like, I don't know, too overbearing, but I'm like, Jane, I don't want you to be like a scary werewolf. I want you to be I also don't want you to be like, hey, look, I've got a miniskirt on and, you know, like that kind of costume.
Which, God, that's
I want
like
you to be
everywhere.
Right. I want this to be like a cool, but like adorable, but also you can be kind of like, rah, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she found this costume, same thing, amazing. Mm-hmm. And then my wife, actually, the first costume that we ordered for my son was a mummy costume, mm-hmm. and it was too big for him, but he's the size now, dude. Listen to this. This is where it gets crazy. He is basically, he's just slightly smaller mm-hmm. in size, in clothing size, so that, you know, if it's super cold in the morning, we can't find a sweatpants when we go running. He just puts hands on and they fit.
And the thing is, too, is that he probably grew out of your stuff like about a year or so ago, right?
What do you mean?
Just like height and stuff, because you're 5'2".
Shut up, man. No. Anyhow, so she used the costume that was a little too big for him, and that's what. And she was a mummy. So anyway, that's what we did.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
We got some pretty good ideas for next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we thought, okay, we could have been like the Addams Family, which would have been good. Mm-hmm. We thought about Guardians of the Galaxy, but that was a little too involved. You know, I got to buy all kinds of
stuff. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I am going to 100% blame it on my wife, because she has never wanted to dress up. And so I think, like, I've pitched a few times to, like, hey, look, you know, let's do, like, the family thing, too. And my girls are just like, I don't know. They're so against that every year.
Oh, like embarrassing or what?
I mean, I don't know if it's like embarrassing, but they just like have no desire to like match, even just between the two of them. Like, so Amelia dressed up at school the day before, and she was Hermione, which she did that last year too, which amazing. Like, she had like the, you know, she has like the suitcase and like the robe and the shirt and the tie and like the official wand, and I mean, it's pretty legit, you know?
Looks awesome.
But then she decided because she's recently gotten into, like, Pokemon, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So she was Pikachu, which was awesome. And then Elliot, I was like, oh, Elliot, you know, my youngest daughter, I was like, oh, you know, if she's Pikachu, maybe you could be, like, another one, like Squirtle mm-hmm. or Eevee or whatever. And mm-hmm. she's like, no, I want to be a vampire queen. And so she's the one who could give a shit about what anybody else does. And she's like this sort of Victorian vampire. And she refused to do it unless I drew like blood coming out of her mouth. And
nice.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. I will say, for our listeners that do live in the South, especially like our Georgia friends, it was kind of crazy, dude. It dropped like 20 degrees. Mm. Like, I kid you not, in like an hour and a half. Yeah. It was wild.
That's my favorite kind of Halloween, a little bit. Only because
it got pretty cold.
It was pretty rare that I got to experience those, because most of the time I was either living in Texas.
Oh, right.
And it doesn't get that cold. Or I was living on the equator mm-hmm. and it dang sure doesn't get that cold. And so when we kind of came back, you know, going mm-hmm. back to that, he's in ninth grade, he's still dressing up though.
Yeah.
It got that kind of cold, and it brings back those memories, and it just feels like, hey, this is what Halloween is supposed to feel mm-hmm. like, you know? Mm-hmm. That argument you would get in with your mom, and you're like, I don't need a jacket. It's going to cover my costume.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that was always the worst, but I mean, mm-hmm. it was pretty chilly. Like, by the end of the night, mm-hmm. I will say, and again, I think I did this on our previous episode, but as far as like our house and our decorations, like we went all out this year.
Yeah.
Did you guys do anything?
I mean, no. I mean, typically, so Anne doesn't really Halloween decorate. She sort of like decorates for
sort of fall,
autumn. Yeah, fall. Yeah. And so there's like a boatload of, you know, various sized pumpkins and stuff on our steps out mm-hmm. front, and we actually have a couple of oaks on either side of the house that kind of the leaves fall perfectly, and mm-hmm. she doesn't want me to blow them away, which is, hey, that's nice, okay, one less thing I have to do on a Sunday. And so no Halloween decorations really, but I'm glad you brought that up, because now that we're in November, we're getting closer to this, not Thanksgiving yet, mm-hmm. but we're getting closer to Thanksgiving. Have you guys already started decorating for Christmas?
We have not. So we're in the midst of the ending of our soccer season, which I don't know if other parents out there are going through this, but my God, it is it's a full-time job doing all the soccer stuff. Like, we're talking, like, last weekend, for example, We had an All-Star game on Friday, three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. And so it's just like, just full-on soccer all the time. And
so all that to say, no, you haven't started decorating.
No, we have not. I did break down all the Halloween stuff earlier than I thought I would, which is always kind of sad, you know?
But like the saddest though, man, is whenever you're like kind of like putting away, like after like January 2nd and 3rd is kind of like, oof.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, you know, there's no more holidays for a while, you know?
Yeah. Not necessarily Halloween related, but
after these messages, we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Something out there waiting for us. And it ain't no man.
Hey, this is Bryce Johnson from the Bigfoot Collectors Club, and you're listening to Tyler and Woody on That Would Be Rad, because that is rad.
We finally finished, we haven't even talked about this, and I'm excited. We finally finished season 2 of The Bear.
Oh, yeah, dude. Amazing, right?
God, man, that show, I swear on my life, whoever is doing the music to that show is...
The funny thing is we probably know them.
Well, yes. And also, if you or I knew nothing about the show, and we were thrown in there, and they were like, okay, come up with like... the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
It would be
what we would have picked.
It would be the exact stuff I have.
Yep, 100%. And here's the fun part. I didn't know anything about the show when we started it and just said, hey, I remember this guy from whatever that show was. I don't even remember that he was on.
What was it?
God, what is it called?
I don't know. I don't know that I've seen anything else with it.
He's amazing, dude. Well, everybody in that show is so incredible. But you're right, dude. I knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And from the get-go, in season 1, all of the songs are so great, dude. Mm-hmm. All of the characters are so freaking awesome. And then what I love about it so much is the development of the characters. From like that first episode of the first season all the way into...
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's every single person sort of buying in and falling in love with the idea of making everything and themselves better, dude. And what about Cousin?
Dude, Cousin's the best.
Oh, my God.
Although, man. And again, like, spoiler alert. Yeah. I mean, not really spoiler alert, but...
Just go watch it if you haven't.
But yeah, watch it. But in saying that, dude, that... So the only time I really watch anything where I'm actually, like, sort of engaged and not... just kind of listening to it throughout the day, you know? So, you know, we're kind of going to sleep and sort of winding down. What about the one episode that is a literal anxiety attack?
Oh, my God. The Christmas episode?
God almighty, dude.
Yeah, no. It was tough to get through, but, man, talk about acting. What about Jamie Lee Curtis, man?
Yeah, dude.
Was that a spoiler?
I mean, I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. People know that she's in it. They just look good in the IMDb.
But the end, like, the car just...
God, dude.
God, no, dude. What about the brother, the Punisher dude? What's his name? I never can remember his name. Yeah.
John Bernthal.
Yeah, John Bernthal. Between him and God, that is so like such good acting, but like God, the anxiety just
I know
just
it was
keeps
tough
going up, dude.
And it's like an hour. It's the longest episode.
Yeah.
Of either season, mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, dude, it's so good. And the song choices, man, like the REM songs and like the, I mean, just everything. It's just so good.
Yeah, dude.
Oh,
It's, I mean, you have like a Steve Earle song and then followed mm-hmm. up by like Refused mm-hmm. New Noise. It's yeah. just awesome.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, that was really great. Oh, what about, okay, so this is something that is like sort of breaking news. You probably haven't even seen it, but there is a new trailer for Dune 2.
Shut up. No, there's not.
Yes, there is.
You're making
I'm just
it
kidding.
Up,
that was like months ago. But have you seen the new Ghostbusters trailer?
Yes, dude.
Ah, dang, man. I thought I was going to have
Come on.
A big one up. I just watched it before we jumped on, and I mean, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, dude, it looks awesome. I mean, it looks like that the main monster, whatever it is, looks a little scary.
Yeah.
So might wait to take Jane mm-hmm. until after we've watched it, because she's right now she's in that stage where silly things kind of scare her.
Yeah, same. I think my favorite part was seeing like, and I mean, this isn't a spoiler because it's in the trailer, but like seeing like the mom suited up.
Yeah.
Was like, yeah. Oh, okay, this is pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's like a whole, yeah, it's really cool. It's a family thing. I mean, I do wonder like what other people our age who are into the Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. you know, listener, if you're, what their thoughts were, I think, about Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I mean, we gushed about it for a full episode.
Yeah, I mean, I just loved it so much. Yeah. But I wonder, too, them continuing it and adding new characters and kind of, you know, utilizing some of the older ones still and stuff. Mm-hmm. What do people think after seeing this trailer? I mean, yeah. to me, it's like some of those franchises, as long as they're done right,
yeah,
I think that's pretty awesome, especially since it's the son of the original guy that's directing it.
So that's changing on this one.
Yeah. Well, is he just like producing it or?
I'm not sure. So I think the guy that's directing it was a like co-director or like a writer on the first one. Mm-hmm. So at least there is that like sort of connectivity that can, you know, can help.
Yeah.
But I do think the direction's different on this, which I don't love.
Well, let's see. Yeah, okay, so it's still written by Jason Reitman, but just directed by somebody else.
Yeah, but the director is, he was attached to the first one, so, you know.
Ooh, wow. He also did the remake of, he did Monster House.
Right.
He did...
which I love.
I guess the remake of Poltergeist, which I've never seen.
Man, I heard it totally bombed.
I don't even give those things a chance, man.
Yeah, which kind of sucks, man, because yeah. like, it, well, and it's kind
of. It might
like,
be unfair of me.
It is unfair, but like, I mean, even like the new Exorcist movie I've heard was absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, it's just like, how does that even happen? Like, I feel like for stuff like that, it would take so much more effort to make a bad movie.
Yeah.
It's like everything is stacked like in your favor, so.
Yeah, I think too, I wonder if they're like, well, we won't really spend the resources on this franchise because it's just, you know, like, I'll give you an example, Halloween, for example, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're still going to go and see it.
We
might think
saying.
The movie sucks, but we're still going to fill a seat. We're still going to pay for the ticket. Mm-hmm. It's nothing more than that. They're not trying to.
Yeah, but I think like movies like that and like, you know, like Freddy the 13th and, or God, Freddy the 13th.
There we go.
Friday the 13th. I feel like those sort of types of franchises are very much like, you kind of expect that. Like, so it's not like you're expecting like a movie that's just incredible, but you know what you're kind of getting, you know? And it is like, there is a level of like sort of campiness and like cheesiness, but mm-hmm. but you know, that's like appreciated, whereas yeah. like stuff like this like total different remake, I don't think they can necessarily like rest on that, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. It kind of makes me mad, and that's part of the reason why I don't watch them. I don't make a huge effort to watch them. I mm-hmm. saw the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. I saw the remake of Friday the 13th because, you know, we did the mm-hmm. the long episode about it. I just feel like with some of these, especially when it comes to like John Carpenter classics or, mm-hmm. you know, Wes Craven or whatever, it's like, just let them live in their universe of the 80s and 90s and don't mess with them. Come up with some original storytelling, dude. You know, Jordan Peele is doing a great job of that right now. I mean, yeah. he's finding that voice in the noise of all of this remake, 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 you mm-hmm. know? But I think there's some original storytelling happening. Although, I think it was, what is the movie I was thinking of the other day? And someone, I was like, dude, every single scare. Oh, it was, have we talked about No One Will Save You?
Briefly. And I started it, but there's so little dialogue that, like, I couldn't work and watch it, so I ended up turning it off.
Yeah, there's almost no dialogue. Mm-hmm. But according to some of the things I read, because I kind of had to I was kind of working while I was watching it, so I'm sure I missed a ton. So I kind of, after I watched it, read some synopsis about it so that I could figure out, like, did I miss something? Mm-hmm. Or what, you know? And apparently so much of that movie, just almost scene by scene, was just straight up taken from a bunch of other horror movies, whether they're foreign or, you know, recent movies. And so it was just kind of like all these, you know, the guy that was writing the article was like, man, this is just a carbon copy with slightly changed characters, which is disappointing, you know. But I'll tell you one that I did enjoy that I think we should talk about. I don't know if I told you this yet. I know we talked about this movie, but real quick, before we talk about the other movie that I'm sure you want to talk about, I got to say that I watched The Fog with my oldest.
Yes. Did we talk about that?
I don't remember if we did or not, man. I think I may have mentioned it to you over the last couple of weeks. I don't even know. I don't remember at this point.
Well, no. I'm saying, like, did we talk about, like, us watching The Fog?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe we did. Again, to me, the only reason that I wanted him to see it was, you know, he's into Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, getting closer to being 12 and everything, which is pretty young to watch a scary movie, to me anyway.
Or very old for somebody in the 80s.
Yeah, really. you know, so it is kind of straddling that line of, you know, well, I was fine and I saw all this other crazy stuff. But then it's like, you know, I don't know. I feel like I would have been like, okay, let's watch, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm-hmm. And then I'd feel like a bad dad. So anyway.
Although, boy, aren't we, like, really bad helicopter parents?
There could, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is that movie, though, that I feel like, aside from, like, one or two little parts, was kind of, like, the perfect thing because there wasn't really gore. I mean, there's this part, he laughed his butt off. There's this part where this guy gets stabbed by a sword. It goes through his chest, pal. So he gets stabbed from behind.
Yeah.
You see the sword poke out. No blood.
Yeah.
Sword's completely clean, you know, so he just started laughing, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But he loved, like, the story of it. He loved, like, the synth soundtrack.
Oh,
He's just like, we would kind of pause and talk about it, and he's just like, man, I am such a huge fan of John Carpenter now. This is so cool.
Man, that's awesome.
How he just, you know, uses these things to make things scary that don't require, you know, jump scares or, you know, it's that slow sort of, like, build, and man, he loved it, dude. It was so cool.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I don't know if you would call it, like, soundtrack, but, like, yeah, the score is, well, no, I guess there technically would be a soundtrack because there's the, and again, I think, like you said, we did talk about it, but there is that, like, you know, the narrator is like a, you know, DJ.
Yeah, for like a soft jazz station.
Yeah, and so you are hearing, like, stuff like that, which is, like, I don't know. It just gives that, like, that sort of late night. It sort of gives this, like, level of, like, isolation that that is, like, sort of comforting and, like, to me, like, it's the same feeling, and I don't really know why, but it's that same feeling that we would get or that I would get when, like, you and I were up at night driving to the next town.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the other dudes were asleep. And it's like, it kind of feels like, you know, you rarely see a car on the highway. So it's kind of like, it's just you in the middle of the night. And, like, it's very isolated, which is.
It makes, like, the funny things funnier.
Yeah. Right.
And the scary things scarier.
Oh, somehow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, we would get on these conversations, man, when we were driving through the middle of nowhere, Texas on tour late at night. I mean, really, I should say, it wasn't even late at night. It was early in the morning, honestly, because it's like 3 in the morning. And we would just freak each other out and be like, all right, dude, we got to talk about something else, man. It's scary, you know?
Hey, speaking of being, oh, well, no, go ahead. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, the cool thing about this movie is yeah, you have that. I don't know, man. I think rewatching it with him and stuff, it's like I was kind of showing him how the Duffer Brothers and folks that I like in terms of cinematography mm-hmm. have kind of like used that as their sort of template.
Oh, yeah.
In, but not to just copy from, but use it as like that storytelling technique and everything to create something that is a unique story, but told in a way that kind of gives homage to mm-hmm. that way of telling the story, which is just fantastic. So it's kind of cool to be able to introduce him to that. And yeah. of course, he was like, after that, he's like, I want to watch Halloween. I want to watch The Thing. I'm like, whoa. Slow it down.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually did start watching this movie, and I was so excited because, like, the movie starts off, and the narrator is the lady from The Fog. And she's like, narrating. So it's sort of like an anthology. I can't remember what it's called, but, like, I don't know. It looks so cheap. I didn't get into it, but, like, I was super excited when I saw her, and she's like talking the same way, and she's like in front of a microphone. So it's like, it was really playing up that aspect of The Fog, which is really cool. But like, I don't know, it just looked super kind of low budget.
There's a lot of those cheesy low budget movies, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched Dr. Sleep again, and I believe that you saw it.
Oh yes.
For the first time.
You told me to. Yep. Yep.
So good.
And this kind of goes back to that I didn't give it a chance thing, which was unfair, and how dare I?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really read, that's not true. I've read a couple of Stephen King's more sort of quote-unquote recent books,
mm-hmm. Hearts in Atlantis.
That's not that recent, but that's a great book.
It is.
The movie was like basically the first third of the book.
Yeah, which I like the movie, but.
No, dude, you got to read the book, man.
Yeah. It was such a slow, which, I mean, I'm okay with, but it was slow. Yeah.
And so I didn't even realize that there was that Dr. Sleep was a book that existed, right?
I didn't either.
And so whenever you're like, have you watched it? And I'm like, no. I thought that essentially it was kind of just like a cheesy remake somehow mm-hmm. and a spinoff story or whatever. Dude, I freaking loved it.
Yeah, I kind of just threw it on. You know, it was one of those that, like, I sort of just threw it on, like, while I was working. And, I mean, I got to say, it's one of those movies that has, like, become a staple of, like, Halloween season.
Yeah.
And, it is pretty scary, but it doesn't feel like I don't know what kind of movie it is, really. It's very unique in that.
It's kind of, you know, it's that classic Stephen King thing when, yes, I guess it would be in the horror section at Blockbuster, mm-hmm. this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of like The Shining, honestly. I mean,
yeah,
of course, there's some, like, horror elements to it. But for the most part, it's really just kind of like a psychological thriller, mm-hmm. you know?
It's almost like a paranormal version of Falling Down with Michael Douglas.
Oh, my gosh.
How it's just like the descent of like a man's like mind, you know?
Yeah.
He just loses.
But it was cool because if anybody listening has kind of dove into Stephen King a little deeper than just sort of, I watched it or I read, you know, this or that, mm-hmm. there's this sort of like interlocking world that he's created, and a lot of these stories and characters and even like some of his sort of, I don't know, man, theories about things mm-hmm. are kind of like connected.
Oh,
and within this movie, I wonder if folks that watched it who don't have that sort of knowledge base about all the different things like the Shining, you know, or like, I forgot what the other guy called it.
I know what you're talking about. I can't think of it.
Yeah, but basically like their ability to use their mind and connect with other people in other places and things like that.
They're like mutants, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and Stephen King's used that in so many books, mm-hmm. man. And it's really cool to kind of see all those connections. And that got me down a rabbit trail of my own where I wanted to see, like, well, just how many of those books, because I'll give you an example. In the book, forget about the movie, because mm-hmm. I didn't like it either, but in the book, Dreamcatcher, which everybody should read, it's amazing.
Well, I will say this about the movie. I think the first half of the movie, I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
But then it sort of does that like anti-Hitchcock thing where it sort of gives it away, which if you know Woody and I, you know that like we hate that.
Yeah.
It's like if it would have kept that sort of mystique and like mystery, it would have been amazing, but it just sort of, you know.
For some reason, his writing style and the way that he delivers just doesn't, when they have to reformat that in screenplay, it just doesn't translate, man. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I
felt the same way about the show that was on HBO. The book's way better.
Yeah, I feel like Clive Barker's like that a little too.
Clive Barker, man. Intense stuff. Jeez. What was I saying? Oh, in Dreamcatcher, they are, like, whenever they're younger, it shows them and they're going through this, like, graveyard and they're trying to find, and I think they may have shown this in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that the movie, like, it's not that I hated it. It's just in comparison to the book, dude, not even close in terms of how awesome it was.
Yeah.
Which
by the way,
I'm
sorry, pal. I don't mean to do this. But just since you said graveyard, have you seen these, like, videos of people driving their Tesla through graveyards?
What? No, why would they drive through a graveyard?
Okay, so
hold on real quick. I want to hear about that, but then it's going to feel weird going back to what I was going to say, which is they go through this graveyard and on...
Did you say graveyard?
Yeah, I don't know what I said. On this gravestone, there is this like spray paint, like graffiti, and it just says Pennywise.
Oh, right.
And it's like, oh man.
Yeah.
You're reading this whole book. You don't see any other connection. Mm-hmm. But then they're like, what? Or it might even say something like Pennywise was here or something crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, whoa, as a reader. Anyway, people are driving their Teslas through graveyards. Go ahead.
So, you know, everything's like pretty advanced, like electronics and those things. And so, it's telling when like people are close to the car. And it does that thing where it shows like the top-down view and like, you know, it's showing like, it's not like an infrared thing, but it basically, it's like showing like what looks like people walking around your car. Like, it's pretty wild. You know, it's kind of the same.
So basically they're saying like it's capturing the spirits walking around.
Right. It's exactly the same thing as like.
So when you say driving through a graveyard, you just mean like on the actual road to be on.
Yeah, not
okay,
like.
Dude, I envisioned them just being like, check this out.
No.
Just driving through.
Okay. Yeah, no. It's kind of like how Ghost Hunters started using, I want to say Nintendo Switch, but that's not right. What is the one? The listeners are screaming at their speakers right now. No, you know the one that like you like play, like bowling?
Wii.
Yeah. They started using Wii's because it was showing like, you know, it shows like a stick person, basically.
Oh God, that's terrifying.
Yeah, dude, it's like pretty, like it's like showing that basically a stick person, and it's like picking up on, you know, whatever the like programming is. It's like picking up like when there's like, you know, quote unquote, like spirits or whatever.
Wow.
It's pretty fascinating. I got around to watching A Haunting in Venice. I was watching it while I was working, so. I did not give it like a completely fair shake, but it was super boring.
Really?
I thought, yeah. Which sucks because I thought it looked really cool.
Dude, we got to talk about the movie that we actually liked, though.
Mm-hmm.
We will return after these messages.
It's a pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire.
I think you really know what's happening around here, don't you? Don't
you? If anyone out there wants to,
we're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
Hey, this is Woody.
And this is Tyler. And you're listening to That Would Be Rad.
And now, back to our show.
Get into it.
The best is this, okay? Look, I think Lizzie Kaplan... Well, it was just, I've had a crush on her for years.
Mm-hmm, same.
Okay? Ever since first seen her.
Okay? Yeah. Yep.
And so Tyler shoots me a text one day and he's like, hey, man, have you seen this movie yet? Or have you ever heard of this? Now, another thing that Tyler and I like to do is really kind of just, even if we're not the one, Tyler does this more. Okay. Mm-hmm. But even if we're not the one that discovered it first, boy, do we like make it out to be like, yeah, of course, dude, of course, I told you about this. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'll send something to Tyler and be like, man, I love this show. And he's like, I told you.
Which is usually the case.
Never the case.
Always the case.
So he sends me this. Hey, have you seen this? Mm-hmm. And ironically, coincidentally, I had
not
seen the movie yet, but I had added it to my list on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And so we were both like, okay, you watch it today and I'll watch it today. Mm-hmm. And then we'll like, you know, go over what we think.
Regroup. Yeah.
Regroup. Mm-hmm. And dude, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. The movie we're talking about is Cobweb. Yeah, it is a weird movie. And the thing that you said about it, so Woody finished it first. I think I had to like take a break like halfway through to go do something. But man, I don't know. I do, like, I feel so many different ways about the movie. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I feel like, man, I wish they would have done this or this or this differently. But then on the other hand, like, especially for a movie that I had never heard of until, and it was weird. It was all like, it's sort of that synchronicity thing that happens to us where within like 1 week, you know, I read like a Paste article about it, you know, some other thing on Instagram or whatever. And it was like, and I had never heard of it up until then. So I was like pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. I thought it was unique. I will say, I think, and I'm not saying this saying that I didn't like it, but I will say that I think the first half is almost perfection. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, and then that's it?
No. In a conversation. Yeah.
Okay. I understand. Now, let me just give a little context here. Part of the reason why most people probably, unless they're, you know, see it pop up in their Hulu, like, suggestions. Mm-hmm. The main reason why a lot of people haven't heard of it is because, man, it came out in theaters at like a weird time. Mm. It was, I think, released the same weekend as Barbie and Oppenheimer. Oh. And so it fell into the shadows.
So it's like really new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Huh.
And so it fell into the shadows. Nobody paid attention to it. Mm-hmm. Everybody was either wearing pink or learning about the atomic bomb.
Right.
Well, it's unfortunate, dude, because like you said, I feel like there's a lot about this movie. Here's the thing. The first time I watched it, when it ended, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'm mad about that ending.
Right.
Or I just didn't know. I think what I told you was like, dude, I don't really know how I feel. Because here's another thing, listener, that we often do. If I say, okay, look, man, let's watch it. I assume that that means Tyler has also pressed play. Mm-hmm. But I also know that he probably hadn't gotten to it yet. So what I'm doing is I like text and I'm like, dude, I'm 5 minutes in. I think this movie's amazing already. 15 minutes in and, dude, this is brilliant. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes in, also Lizzie Kaplan, hot. 35 mm-hmm. minutes in.
Although she plays a weird... I've never seen her in that.
She plays a weird character sometimes.
No, but she's equally hot. In this, it's different from any other character she's played, I would say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's also... I think it's also PG-13, which is...
No way.
No, it can't be.
No, not a chance.
No, it's not?
Yeah. So? I mean, just the under-the-bed blood part alone.
Yeah, you're right. Anyhow.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, also, I know this sounds like we're just sort of like beating around the bush about giving like a synopsis about this, but
I'm not going to spoil it at all.
I think if you haven't seen it, like we're doing a good service for you by not going into anything about what it's about.
Yeah. I would say go in cold without knowing anything about it is the best. First off, hold on. I'm glad you brought that up, dude. First off, that's the best way to watch any movie.
Yeah, but...
Unless you're talking about Dune, in which case there's like this humongous glossary at the back of the book where, you know, with world building sort of terminology.
Which, by the way,
terminology.
Dude, did you hear that they're coming out with like the new trailer for part 2?
God, shut up. you got to go in cold. Don't read articles about it. Just press play, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think there are aspects, like you said, that I don't know that some people like, but I really liked, this goes back to what I was talking about with John Carpenter, man. I love the way that this writer and director, who apparently, I think he's French, and I think he did a series that's also on Netflix called Marianne. Have not watched that yet, but I will because of this. I think his name is Samuel Bodin is the name of the director.
Subtitles?
I don't
like
know.
French?
Haven't even looked it up.
Okay.
The name of the kid that plays the main character in Cobweb, his first name is Woody. So I'm already sold.
And he's great.
Basically, I'm going to find this is not going to be in the episode, but I'm going to find an interview where Lizzie Kaplan's like referring and Woody's just the greatest. I'm just going to clip it. And then I'm just going to save that and put it on this. And then I'll be like, you know, my friend Lizzie and I are going to be doing a movie together.
Maybe on a Patreon, we
just talk about our crushes in Hollywood or
no. We kind of spoil it and get more, you know.
Yeah. That sounds fair.
Into the reason.
Nitty gritty.
Why or why not? Carrying on. So there's also another movie that was just released on Hulu, which is a movie that I've been so excited about since I first heard about it. But it is the only movie that I can think of that I actually kind of am scared to watch.
Really?
And that's that Skinamarink movie.
I don't know anything about it.
Apparently,
I've heard about it, I think. But.
So, I mean, it just... Like, just watch the trailer and you'll see what I mean. It looks, I don't know. It looks really scary to me, at least. It's super indie. I think it was like super low budget.
Oh, you know what, dude? I tried to watch it and I couldn't get past, like, I didn't like it, man.
I've heard it's like a real slow burn.
Well, I remember like, I was watching it, and yes, I was like, it's slower than slow, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call it a burn. It's kind of like room temperature, slow room temperature.
Yeah, but they say, like, once you kind of get used to that pacing, like, it feels like you're actually sort of in the room. And, like, the shots are from, like, these weird angles.
It's kind of another found footage type thing.
Right? Yeah.
The reason why I didn't pursue it is, like, if you go in and you read the user reviews. Dude, this is one of those movies, man, that like when you, I just like, I, what I did with that time instead was just read these user reviews and laugh my butt off. Here's one. Get ready for it. I'm glad you brought it up. 3 out of 10, the title. I spent a week watching Skinamarink. although the title of this review may appear unkind, it's nevertheless apt. I really wanted to like this film, but ended up bored and angry. Angry that the filmmaker had been so self-indulgent as to presume the audience would be able to withstand 100 minutes of this punishment.
See, I'm really patient, though. I think...
Here's the next one. I'm glad you're patient. 5 out of 10. It says, there's an excellent short film in here, but there's also over an hour of sleep-inducing dead air. That sucks the air out of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The next one, 3 out of 10. This would have been better as a 15-minute short. So anyway, boy, how did I almost miss this one? 1 out of 10, worst film of the year.
Ooh.
The next one, 1 out of 10, I have horror movie blue balls. The next one, don't worry, another 1 out of 10. There are days when I absolutely hate being a horror fan. This was one of them.
Wow.
It's beyond boring, they say. Take the most boring film you've ever seen, multiply it by 1,000, and boom, you have Skinamarink. So anyhow, I read some of these, laughed, but was then like, I don't really want to press play. So anyway, you spend your time. I want to hear your version of it, dude, because maybe it's wrong. You know, oftentimes we've talked about this before, critics sometimes. Those aren't movie critics. I tend to trust some audience input every now and then.
Yeah.
With a grain of salt, you know, because, you know, sometimes people's opinions differ. I happen to like anything and everything, Star Wars, even the newer ones. Yes, there are things about them that I didn't like. I would have done differently, but it's still Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. I would say I'm like that with like pretty much any superhero movie, but God.
Good God. Ant-Man 3, huh?
Dude, I liked Ant-Man 3.
Sucked.
But like, like She-Hulk and
yeah,
the new Marvel's movie, I've heard, is just a full-blown nightmare. Which is just incredible that you can... I feel like it takes so much more effort to make a movie like these, like, bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I actually liked the... I think I may have seen, like, the first four episodes of Ms. Marvel, and I kind of liked it. I like that girl. She's cool, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, her, like, figuring out her power. It's just funny, man, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that teenage superhero stuff I always love. It's part of the reason why I love, like, Spider-Man, because he's, like, trying to figure it all out. But at the same time, he's just a kid, you know? So he's, like, you know, once you get into, like, oh, I'm a 40-year-old superhero, that's a whole nother set of, you know,
now
context, you know?
In saying that, were you really excited about Blue Beetle?
No, I don't really know. I don't really know anything about that character. The freaking anime sword that he has in the trailer looks kind of cool, though.
Yeah, it did look cool, but God,
I don't know.
That trailer looked awful. On to better news, and this is something that you definitely have not heard of, but do you know the Led Zeppelin 4 cover? You know, the painting of the guy with like the bundle of sticks on his back?
Yeah, I don't know if I thought that it was a painting. I thought it was a photograph, but go ahead.
Well, it was always sort of sold to everyone that it was like actually a painting. Anyway, you know, they've discovered that a research fellow at the University of the West of England, he discovered that the photograph is actually a black and white still from the Victorian era and depicts a Wiltshire Thatcher by the name of Lot Long. Long was born in Mere in 1823 and later died in 1893. According to The Guardian, he was a widower living in a small cottage in Shaftesbury Road at the time the photo was taken. So they've discovered who the guy was, because all these years, like, nobody could ever tell, like, who he was, because I guess...
it was such an old picture, huh?
Well, I think Robert Plant actually, like, he found it was just like a framed, which again, I was always told that it was a painting. Because, I mean, even if you look at it, it does kind of look like
I always thought it was a picture.
Like an old painting. Well, the original was black and white, and I guess the sort of crappy.
Like the artificial.
Yeah,
What is the company that used to do it? Like, this movie was colored with Maxitone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
You know, Wizard of Oz had it.
What was that? I can't think of that either. Yeah, I'm guessing probably in the artificial coloring, it kind of, you know, gave that sort of, those sort of artifacts that it looked almost like a painting. But yeah, it was found by Robert Plant and in a Pangbourne antique shop near Jimmy Page's home in Berkshire. And yeah, it's pretty cool because, like, now, you know, I mean, it's like such a classic album. I mean, that's the album with Stairway to Heaven, When the Levee Breaks, Black Dog. And so now we know that it, you know, was Mr. Lot Long. Shout out
that's
to
awesome,
Lot Long.
Dude.
Yeah, pretty
cool. It's so cool when something like that happens because, you know, I don't know if you've ever... when I say I don't know if you've ever, I'm talking to the listener, not you, Tyler, because I know you've done this. We've done this together. Things are about to get weird. No, I don't know if you've ever been to, you know, like an antique store or like a thrift store or something, and you find like a random picture like that. It kind of reminds me of just how, especially back then, you know, you could have just picked up a random picture and be like, oh, man, this is pretty cool. And then it just all of a sudden it ends up on a album, and you know, his family may not, you know, I don't know, they may not have ever even noticed.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
Well, since we're talking about things that we never knew,
wait, real quick before we move on, no, you're gonna enjoy this. I saw a video on Instagram a while back, and this is something that I kind of think it would be cool if our, you know, devoted listeners would maybe play along with us. So it's this video where this guy goes to, you know, like you said, like a thrift shop or antique store, And he just buys this random framed photo of, like, you know, a random person, like, from the 70s, like, just an old photo framed. Then he snuck it into his mom's house, like, you know, mixed it in with, like, a bunch of other pictures. And then sort of brings it up, like, hey, who's in this photo? And so I would love to hear the results of this if our listeners want to play along, especially since we're getting into, like, you know, the Thanksgiving season and the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. I think it could be really funny. I'm definitely going to do it at my grandmother's house.
I mean, so, you know, like, trick your older family members?
I mean, not in a bad way, but I think, I don't know, there's something.
Just to see what they say?
Yeah, just to see what they say. I think it could be real. Like your mom's response would be the funniest thing
probably
ever.
Except for, I think it'd probably just be like, she'd probably just say, never seen it in my life. I mean, she's got a pretty good memory. It wouldn't really work over there.
Man.
Yeah. Well, not at my house anyway, but.
My family's maybe dumb, so.
Oh, man. Speaking of things that we don't know and things that might even, you the second that you hear it, you feel like, I'm being tricked.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the hidden cameras?
Mm-hmm.
This is not real.
We'll return after these messages.
America's future can be determined by our dreams and our visions.
It was very intense worldwide.
For over 200 years, there have been reports of giant, man-like creatures.
From another dimension, another world, I don't know.
The most intriguing mystery on the North American continent.
This is Joshua Cutchin, and you're at my home for weirdness. That would be rad.
As you may or may not know, my wife and I pretty much every night watch Jeopardy before we watch anything else, okay, which sometimes puts a damper on the amount of TV shows that I can watch because, you know, then there's so much out there. Okay, but anyway, it's just what we do. So we were watching Jeopardy the other night, and it's like Celebrity Jeopardy, which is kind of more fun because the questions are, you know, a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. Or I should say the answers are a little bit easier.
Because celebrities are dumb.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes they're really, really smart. Yeah. The ones that win are pretty smart. So they're still tough, but they're not as tough as some of the other ones during the regular season. So I don't remember exactly what it was, but basically it was talking about how a certain animal,
okay,
I'll go ahead and tell you, the wombat, which, here we go, welcome to Australia again. We love you, all of our Aussies.
Yes, we do.
The wombat, I've never heard of this dude. And this is kind of, it's not toilet humor. Think of it more biological here.
Oh, no. I already know this.
You son of a gun. You've been Googling it while
I haven't Googled I'm anything. Talking. I know exactly. It's the what only animal say? In the world that does this. It poops out squares. Square
cubes.
Poop. Yeah.
Cubes. Yes. What in the world, dude? So that, they say that and I go, what? I got to press pause.
I can't believe that you...
I have never
I
heard
know
that in all of my life.
So many useless things. The fact that you didn't think that I would know that.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, dude, how am I supposed to know if you know that? I just didn't think you did because why have I never heard of that?
I'm a genius.
Or what the scientists have found out, the reason why they end up being cubes is... They're formed that way within the final section of the wombat's intestines, and they're, you know, pretty dry or whatever. And the walls themselves have sort of like almost like a varying degrees of stretchiness, and so that's kind of what helps, you know, turn it into that shape. Now, here's the other thing. That doesn't sound comfortable, man.
Yeah, that's actually part of it. I think,
you know.
I've heard that
they kind of have a hard time.
Yeah, they kind of have a hard time with.
Yeah, need to eat a couple prunes. We need to deliver some prunes over there.
Mm-hmm.
Get a little more fiber in that diet.
Mm-hmm.
Poor things, man.
Yeah, pretty. But still pretty fascinating, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of the new Dune 2 trailer, I finally get around to watching The King.
Yes.
With Timothy Chalamet, and it's great.
Yep.
I think you actually told me about this forever ago.
Yeah, whenever it came out.
Yeah.
Years ago. I told you that years ago.
Yeah. It was my 16th birthday party, and Woody was like, hey, it's...
Well, we went into like a text message tirade not too long ago about something. I don't remember what it was, but we just kept on going back and back and back in terms of who would have discovered it first. And it just started getting really ridiculous.
No, no. With I can't remember, but whatever that was, I 100% knew first.
No, I definitely knew about it first and told you about it. You know,
that is not true.
Going back, it's definitely, it's a fact.
Not true at all.
Now, something that you sent me the other day.
Mm-hmm.
That I actually looked into, which I found fascinating. And I think this is a good exercise to ask. Yeah, I'll put it up as a, if you're a Spotify listener, you can actually interact with different polls and stuff if we have them in an episode. And I'm going to put this up as a poll to see how many of the listeners experience this, because apparently, I didn't know this, only some people do.
I already know where you're going.
Yep. And so... I had actually never heard of the official term for it, but you know, listener, when you, for me, it happens more than just the, you know, specific to listening to music, but specifically for listening to music, have you ever been listening to a song and something happens in the song that is just really good, or you're watching a performance, or even like you're watching a movie, or you're telling a story, or someone's telling you a story and you... There's some sort of emotional connection there mm-hmm. to the song, to that moment, and you just get these chills mm-hmm. when it's happening. To me, that's always just been, it's all my life.
The norm.
Whether it's a movie, a trailer,
well,
talking about it right now, dude, I've got chills.
But I do think we need to clarify. I think that terminology is only related to when it's music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
It's called frisson.
Yeah.
Is this... It's a French word that means aesthetic chills. And, you know, it can be, again, it can be emotionally moving music. It says the most common trigger of it, but sometimes it can be while looking at a beautiful artwork, watching a particular, like a moving scene in a movie, or even having physical contact with another person.
Mm-hmm. Now you're talking my language.
Mm-hmm. Studies have shown that roughly 2/3 of the population can... you know, experience this, and you know that 1/3 they don't.
They're serial killers.
That's amazing. Anyway, whenever you sent me that article, the fact that it was, I'd never thought to kind of like look that up. Hey, what is this called, or what am I experiencing? It's just something that's always happened.
Yeah, right.
And I don't know. I love that, man. Yeah. I love it when it's like full body chills, whenever something really amazing happens on screen mm-hmm. or in a song. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that you would experience as a songwriter. The moment that that song just kind of like, you know, if I said, hey, you know, Tyler, man, I got this verse, no idea what I want the chorus to do. Mm-hmm. Do you have, you know, just take a listen, and you'd be like, oh, dude, I've got something that might fit there. And so you'd be like, okay, play that verse again. I'd play the verse, and then you would come in with what you were talking about with the chorus, and it would be like, you know, like mm-hmm. full body chills.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes. That's just the best feeling ever, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. Which, by the way, we have to get together to write soon. It's been too long.
100%.
Go back on the horror movie thing, and this is the last one. I did get around to watching this movie that... There are elements of it that are kind of cheesy, but I think in a good way. And that is the movie Totally Killer. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't seen it yet, but it's also on my list to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, especially if you guys are fans of, well, if you grew up in the 80s and or maybe 90s, it's pretty cool. It's like, not that it's just like some sort of, abstract auteur piece of work or anything, but it is like an intelligent movie that's sort of like, I don't know, the best way I guess I could explain it is like take like a, you know, an 80s slasher movie, but then if that had a baby with Back to the Future.
Man.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I mean, I don't know if they use that in their marketing, but you definitely hooked me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, because like now I'm like, because so many of these modern horror movies, although I think I saw that, added it to my list, and then that reminded me, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to go back and watch the babysitter with
exactly
Samara Weaving.
That's the vibe that it totally has.
But it doesn't have her in it, so.
Yeah. I mean, the cast is pretty good, though. It's got the mom from Modern Family.
Oh, okay. Yeah, she's good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Something that, and it wasn't on purpose necessarily, but Jane is currently really getting into mid to late 90s Britpop.
Wow.
And part of the reason is she's boy crazy. Mm-hmm. And so she stumbled across
Damon Albarn.
She might have even, yeah, yep, that's one of them. She stumbled across, I think I might have been watching it, or I was on a 90s Britpop kick or something, and she came to my office and was like, whoa, who's this? They kind of look like the Beatles. Mm. I was like, oh, this is Oasis. Dude, the next day on her little Spotify playlist, you've got the song, Do You Know What I Mean? And she's just like walking around the house and she's just like, I'm in my make. And I'm like, what?
Whoa.
Super proud dad moment. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, well, if you like them, check this out, you know, whatever. So now she's, her favorite songs right now is that one by Oasis. And then she likes Champagne Supernova. Mm. She loves Blur Song 2.
Yeah, of course.
And of course, she thinks Damon Albarn is hot, but she also thinks Graham Coxon, the guitarist, that's her ultimate style right there, you know?
Really?
It's some dude with like glasses on playing the guitar.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah, she loves it, man.
That's cool.
Loves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would also think like early Coldplay would probably fall into that. Travis would probably be, you know, and then you get in.
She didn't like Kula Shaker. I showed them that. She's like, he's weird. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, some of that stuff gets a little, it's almost like too like psych a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, a little too late 60s.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah,
she is sure. Into the new Beatles song.
I haven't heard it yet.
It's all right, man. It just sounds like, you know, I mean, it's cool.
Yeah.
She's constantly like watching the documentary on how they made it and everything.
And that's like the AI one?
Yeah, apparently I think they used some AI to, I mean, I don't know. It sounds good.
Hmm.
I don't know.
That's interesting. Yeah, I just imagine the conversation where she's like, oh, man, they look like the Beatles. You're like, well, they sound exactly like the Beatles.
Yeah. I mean, Paul and Ringo, you know, since they're still alive, they are really singing it. And I mean, I think what they used for John Lennon's recording for his voice was just like some cleanup, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think the deal, I heard about this. I haven't seen the documentary, but I heard about the story like forever ago where I think in like the early 2000s, is this right? Like Paul had it and they were thinking about releasing it, but they just couldn't clean it up because it was basically, I think, John just like playing the piano in a room, you know, through like a tape recorder kind of thing. And right. Because of the AI stuff, they were able to, you know, isolate the vocals to a level that we haven't been able to do up until now.
Right.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, she loves the Beatles. I mean, so.
Dude, what about those videos of that dude that I've been sending you lately with like the blonde hair? Oh my, dude, just pull up your Instagram right now. It has to be like parody.
Fake. I don't know. I remember seeing one.
There's no way that it's not parody, but God, it's so funny, dude. It's so bad, but it's kind of genius.
Oh, yeah. This guy. There's a sign on the wall, but she wants to be sure. See, man, dude, I can't even, it's hard for me to even stomach that stuff because, like, this dude thinks he's.
No, I think it's like, it's got to be parody, which is kind of genius. Yeah.
No, dude, the guy that I think we haven't talked about it. What about that show? I Think You Should Leave.
Oh yeah, dude, I told you about that show forever ago, I told you about this.
I told
guy.
You first about.
I did. You did not, so and you were like,
told him first.
You were like, I just that guy just seems like one of those dudes like that you would see in a small town.
The one you just sent me does. That's you.
No, like you that, said
hey,
this
if
about.
Hey, anybody want to know what White County is? Go, Tyler's going to post this. He's going to send this today. write him a message and say, Tyler, send me that video you're talking about. He'll write us a message and I'll send it to you. And it's this guy.
Dude, I'm telling you.
That's why I can't handle it.
No, dude, that guy. It's horrible. Sucks.
I don't like it.
I don't like it, but I'm saying I think it's parody.
It's not funny to me, man, is what I'm trying to tell you. But
no, it's funny because most people think that he's legitimately like, because all of his stuff that he writes is like ultra serious, but like he's misspelling half the words.
Oh, God. No, dude. But see, here's the thing. But that's the world right now, man. So I can't even.
Yeah,
but
he's playing off of that, I'm telling you.
Maybe. Anyway, there may come a time when I think it's funny. It's probably not going to happen, but there might. I'm not going to say never. Mm-hmm. Goonies never say die.
Yeah.
But what I will tell you is the guy from I Think You Should Leave, you're right in the sense that you sent me a video of him and the same kind of deal. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I don't really know.
As always.
Because it was like a clip that I didn't get. Well, one day I was like, you know, I saw a different clip either. I think you might have sent me.
Was it the zip line one?
Yes, dude. And it's like, and I think I probably commented back like, dude, this is you, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, dude, it's so funny. And then I started watching the show and the first, I think it's one of the first sketches in the first episode whenever he's like, the lawyer, and he's like, has this ever happened to you before? And he starts off and he's just like pretty normal.
Yeah, right.
It's like one of those TV lawyer commercials.
Yeah.
And then it gets into,
has this ever happened to you? You bought a house that was not disclosed to you that there was a termite infestation in the walls and in the moldings. So you have to take it upon yourself to call your own termite extermination company. But when the guys show up, they immediately ask if they can use your bathroom. Then for over 2 hours, they take turns going in and out of there, taking huge mud pies and over flushing. Then they go in there together and you hear a bunch of scrounging around, and then you hear a bunch of yelling, and one of them is standing in the bathroom doorway shouting at you, and his friend's foot stuck in the toilet, and he says, help him, you gotta help him. And when you go in there to help him, he just pulls it out easily and laughs because his foot wasn't stuck. It wasn't stuck at all. He was just faking it. And then they get really serious. They say it's turbo time. And they both start running around the house as fast as they can and jumping over the couches. But when you try and jump in, they yell at you and they say, you're not part of the turbo team. Don't run. You don't run with us. We're the ones who run. Until you're part of this turbo team, walk slowly. So you go lay down to be by yourself and read your art books. But then the next day you went into the bathroom and it looked like the hole in your toilet had shrunk. He said, how could that be? There's no way they could have shrunk the toilet. But then you saw in the trash a receipt from Home Depot for a toilet the exact same size as yours, but with a joke hole that's just for farts. They replaced your real toilet with a fart toilet, and now you can't take a dump in your house because your toilet can't suck them down and you feel sick to your stomach? Has that ever happened to you? Call me right now, please.
Yeah.
Man, dude. Or no, I'll tell you one of my other favorite ones. All of a sudden, it's just this scene and there's this car that's crashed through the front of a clothing store. And it shows this lady and she's like,
is everyone okay? What happened? Did anyone see?
Someone drove a hot dog-shaped car through the window.
Driver's gone. Somebody call the cops. We need to find that driver.
They could have killed someone.
Whose car is this?
Yeah, come on. Whoever did this, just confess. We promise we won't be mad.
It pans to him, and he's wearing a hot dog uniform.
What?
We'll close our eyes. Just take your car and get out of here.
Sir, that's clearly your car.
Wrong.
Someone call the police.
Yeah, that's one idea. Or we could work as a team, find out whoever did this and punish him ourselves. Maybe take his bare butt out of his costume and spank him. Maybe you could do it, sir.
Not gonna happen.
Okay, you.
No.
Well, one of us is gonna have to do it.
No one's getting spanked.
You know what's driving me nuts? It could literally be any one of us.
No, it couldn't. You're dressed like a hot dog.
And they're like, huh? Oh, dude, so hilarious, yeah, man. It is really stupid. It's one of those shows that
there's a lot that, like, I'm
if
like,
I was 15 given a budget to make a full-on TV show, this would be it.
It's a totally different style of humor, but I would imagine for kids, it's kind of like the way we had like Tom Green.
Yeah.
Where it's like super dumb, but like there's moments
on the Swedish, you know, it's like, it's less way, way out there.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
But it is pretty funny, man. This guy plays like the perfect sort of awkwardly obnoxious and abrasive character. Mm-hmm. You know, like, dude, did you see the one about Tom Flashes or whatever? The clothing store?
No.
And the patterns? Dude, so this guy, this main character guy or whatever.
I think his name's like Tom Robbins, maybe?
Yeah, Tim Robbins.
Tim Robbins, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, he's laying down on this couch and they're in an office meeting. And he's just like, I think it's because these kind of people remind me of you, but he's just sleeping through the meeting. And the boss is like, is everything okay, John? And he's like, yeah, I just had a really long flight. And they're like, and then this older guy, let's just say his name's Steven. I have no idea. But this older guy's like, no, he's just been spending all of his per diem on these shirts from Tom Flash. He's like, you shut up, Steve.
Yeah.
These shirts are amazing. I've never found a store that's exactly my style. And it's like these terribly, like,
yeah,
just ugly, you know, graphic printed button up shirts. Yeah. And he goes on this tirade about how, like, they're so expensive because of how complicated the patterns are.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Okay. And then one last one that I want to tell you about or talk about. Have you seen the one where the lady walks in? So he's behind a desk. He's like tapping on the computer. He's about to start eating his lunch. And it's like this foot long hot dog. The lady walks in. She's like, hey, you know, Johnny is actually going to start the meeting. You know, he was able to like rebook a flight. And so he wants us to kind of come to the conference room. He's like, he looks up at her like confused, dude, like the ultimate Tyler look, like,
yeah.
Huh? And he goes, yeah, but it's lunch. And she's like, yeah, but we have to get this done. This proposal is like a big deal. And he's just like letting her talk. And he's like, I don't think you can do that. It's lunch. And so she's like, come on, you got to come in. So dude, he walks into this meeting. He's got like a navy blue suit on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he walks in and you see him like kind of cupping his hand, his right hand. And it's as clear as day that he's now shoved this foot-long hot dog into his suit sleeve. And he's like walking in. He's like, hey, how's it going? He sits down. He puts his head on the table like a little kid would do to hide the fact that he's eating this hot dog.
Yeah.
And then they're like, dude, what are you doing, man? And he's like, oh, I'm just really tired. And then like the hot dog's like hanging out of his sleeve and he's just like laying there. And they're like, he's eating his lunch. And then he starts choking on this hot dog. All this stuff happens. And at the very end, he's like, you can't, the whole like the final punchline is he just like looks into the camera. He's like, you can't skip lunch.
That's amazing.
And that was it. I mean, dude, it's just incredible. Man.
Yeah. I think like some of the ideas for like the skits or like the fact that you have a skit where you have like a member of like the Bachelor show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the only thing he cares about doing is riding the zip line, mm-hmm, on the show. So it shows him like, they're like, you didn't even eat lunch.
Any of the events.
He was like, he's like, I ate lunch with everybody. And it shows him and he's just scarfing down the food so he can run back, yep, to the zip line.
And then, dude, when he does like all the moves, like jumping off the zip line.
Exactly.
He just thinks he's so cool. Oh, God, it's amazing, dude.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, this is a really random episode. So, listeners, thank you for sticking around, mm-hmm, for this long.
And like Woody said earlier, we're really happy to be back. We are so happy that you've joined us for another week of randomness. And, yeah, next week we will get back into our regularly scheduled programming. If you would like to reach out to us, you can do that on Instagram, drop us a DM, join the conversation, say hi. If you want to tell us your own paranormal story or something that's happened to you or your own sort of colloquial, you know, folklore that maybe we've never heard of, if you're in a different country or even different state, we'd love to hear about it. If it's more long form, head on over to thatwouldberadpod@gmail.com. Or even better, you can head over to thatwouldberadpodcast.com, our official website where you can kind of do it all. But the coolest part is that you can leave a voice memo or, you know, I guess back in the old days, like a phone call. You can you can call us and, you know, leave it in your own voice and, you know, it may pop up in a future episode. leave a 5-star review, tell a single friend about the show. It really means a lot. And it really helps spread the word and helps get us new ears. And we're always appreciative. Buy us a coffee. Join our Patreon, The Rabbit Trail, where it's more of what you love. Maybe a little more rambling. But it's a little more free. It's a little later at night. And we're so appreciative and so grateful for the folks that are already members of The Rabbit Trail. I guess that's about it. Anything else, Woody?
Well, I was just going to say, don't forget about our new physical address. If you want to send us a letter, a handwritten note, a package, a postcard, you know, whatever.
Chainmail.
You can do that. What now?
Chainmail.
Chainmail. You can do that by addressing your envelope to, that would be rad, 2551 Limestone Parkway 1A, box number 4, Gainesville, Georgia 30501. It's always nice to go to the mailbox and find a little surprise in there. And again, just a little handwritten note that says, hey guys, hello from whatever country you're in. And by the way, you don't have to go to our website and just use the voicemail or whatever for telling us your story. Just tell us, you know, say hello from wherever you're at in the world, and we'll share that with the listeners as well. Yeah, man. For sure. I mean, no matter what, dude, it's just good to be back in the studio, and I'm looking forward to next week when we're, you know, bring something super interesting in terms of a crazy story that our listeners might not have heard yet.
Yeah, dude. Well, we love you. We appreciate you. And as always,
be rad. That's the way it goes.
The way it goes. Access granted.
And so there's, I mean, oh my God, I choked.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, what else did I get here?
All right.
Beautiful segue.
Yeah, it won't do that on the thing.
It won't do that on the thing.
Sorry, man.
The autobiography of Woody Brown.
Shh.